take a moment to invoke the intercession of Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In theology and in reality, there is a distinction between what God could do or could have done and what God actually does and what God actually did in salvation history. In reality, there is such a distinction, and I'll just give an example from reality and then apply it to theology and the spiritual life to maybe more effectively drive home my point. Theoretically, the highway that goes from here to Evansville, so I-69 South, right? It could have been built in a different way. It could have been built to go to a different city. A lot of things could have happened, but in reality, I-69 South goes to Evansville. So if you want to go to Louisville, you can't take I-69 South. And that makes sense. You've got to take a different highway. Could have been different, but it is. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Well, back to that initial statement, God could have done many different things, but in reality, he did something specific. We have to conform ourselves to what God really did in salvation history and live our lives according to what God actually did do and actually does do, not according to what he could have done. So what's the point here? Many Catholics live their life as if God is doing what he could have done. So the example, many Catholics, well, God could forgive sins without confession, but he does not. So that's one example. Many Catholics live as if what God could do is what he actually does do. That's why their sins are not forgiven. They could be, because God could forgive sins without confession, but those who don't go to confession don't have forgiveness of sins, because that's how God actually does forgive sins. Specifically now, in reference to this feast that we celebrate today, the Annunciation, God could become man and give graces without the mediation of Our Lady, but he does not do that. He could have, but he didn't. He could, but he doesn't. Many Catholics, many Christians live as if what God could do is what he actually does do. That's why they receive very little or no grace at all, because they reject Our Lady and her mediation. They could receive grace, but they do not, because they don't conform their lives to what God actually did do in salvation history. I don't know if I've convinced anybody here to go to confession. Probably not, because you're still thinking, well, God could forgive sins without confession. But that's the point. He doesn't. Okay, but back to the sermon. We have to live our lives according to what God actually did and actually does do, not according to what he could do. And man is united to God in Our Lady today. The Annunciation, we celebrate that moment when God became united to man in an unprecedented way. God and man, the divine nature and the human nature, become united in one person. That's called the hypostatic union. God and man have never been closer, and they never will be any closer. That's as close of a union as is possible in the Incarnation. And that union happens in Mary, through Mary. All that comes from man and goes to God, and all that comes from God and goes to man, goes through our Blessed Lady. Outside of Mary, therefore, there is no union with God. It could have been otherwise, but it isn't. It could have happened differently, but it didn't. And whoever realizes that Mary is the meeting place where God finds us and we find God, and yet refuses to be there, refuses to show up, Such a person never finds God. So now about devotion to Our Lady. Devotion to Our Lady has varying degrees. It starts with recognizing that God in His economy of grace acted in a certain way. He meets us in a certain way, in a certain place, through a certain mediation. That is Our Lady. And then again, devotion to Our Lady has varying degrees. The greater our devotion to her, the closer we come to God. St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe used an example. Of course, it's an image, it's an analogy, which only goes so far, but nevertheless, it's a good image and a good analogy. St. Maximilian says, when you look for a king, where do you look for him? Inside of the palace or outside of the palace that he has built for himself? And the answer is, of course, you look for a king inside of the palace, in the innermost chamber of that palace. Likewise, the true is for our Lord. Where do you look for him? Well, inside of that earthly paradise that he has built for himself. Where do you find the incarnation? Where do you find God and man united? Where do you find the hypostatic union? Inside or outside of Mary? The answer is deep inside. And again, we use the image, the physical image of Our Lady, her womb. And of course, that is physically true in the case of Our Lady. The incarnation is a physical event. But spiritually, it's just as true that it's deep within Our Lady, deep within devotion to our Blessed Lady, that we find God and the most perfect union between God and man. Inside, not outside. The more we distance ourselves from Our Lady, under the pretext of looking for God, the less we find Him, and the further we go from Him. Now, the greatest devotion to our Blessed Lady is called consecration to her. Both St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe and St. Louis de Montfort were great champions of consecration to Our Lady, and today's feast expresses what consecration to her is all about. This greatest devotion to Our Lady is the kind that we need to receive all the graces that God wants to give to us, not just some, but absolutely all of them. It's the devotion in which we do what Jesus himself did in the womb of Mary, when we become most like Jesus and totally surrender ourselves to our Blessed Lady. We totally make ourselves dependent upon her. And with an act of the will, again, this image expresses an interior attitude. We want to depend on her. We want to surrender to her. We want to receive from her. We give her all authority over us. Such devotion to Our Lady is the most perfect kind because it most imitates what our Lord did in the womb of our Blessed Lady. It makes us perfectly like our Lord, Son of God and Son of Mary. It obtains for us miracles, graces, the good wine like in Cana of Galilee, and sanctification, of course, because perfect transformation into our good Lord. Today is a great day to consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, or to renew that consecration to our Blessed Lady. And what are we doing by doing that? We're imitating our Lord himself, who meets us how? By becoming a child of Mary. Who glorifies God, how? By becoming incarnate in the womb of Our Lady. And it's there that we have to look for him, it's there that we have to find him. And to have access, we have to take on his attitude of surrender and entrustment to our Blessed Lady. God could have done many things, but he did one specific thing in salvation history. He came into the womb of Mary to be united to us there. There we must find him. So let's ask for that grace to embrace this perfect devotion to our Blessed Lady. And today is the best day to do exactly that. Praised be Jesus and Mary,
now and forever.